My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're getting football back.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Video coming out of Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson having an animated conversation on the sideline. You know who also loves that conversation? I love it. It's demonstrative. Who cares?
There's often appearance versus reality in life.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Seahawks wide receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Falcons safety Jesse Bates III, and now it's
right. Yes,
Rich Eisen.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Welcome to August. Woo. Welcome to August. Welcome to a day with football on it. In the National Football League tonight, we've got a Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. Texans and Bears. Oh my, playing together. Hall of Fame jacket dinner tomorrow night. I'll be hosting as soon as this show is over. I'm flying off to Canton, Ohio. I'll be doing this show from there on Friday, and then Saturday is induction Saturday, and then football's back, preseason games galore next week, and so on and so forth. College football around the corner. It's a pigskin world we live in. We're just paying rent, and it starts tonight, and I'm fired up about it. Daniel Jeremiah will be on this program in just 20 minutes time. He is the voice, partially, of Chargers football locally on the radio, and we all know and love him. His work from NFL Network and the NFL Media Group. Our number two, Jaxon Smith-Njigba of the Seattle Seahawks, getting set to try and make the playoffs once again. He's going to be on this program in hour number two. Jesse Bates, one of the best back-end defenders in the National Football League. He'll be joining us from the Atlanta Falcons in hour number three. I've got a power rankings today with the NFL Network top 100, now down to the final 10 to be revealed in order on Friday night. I'm going to try and do my best to order it for you later on in this program. There's our dial-in number, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on this program to have a chit-chat with us. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, we made it. Football from now until February. Let's go.
Let's go. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Rich.
Good to see you over in your post. TJ Jefferson, good to see you in your spot.
I mean, it's beautiful to be seen, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, very much so.
Yes, indeed.
I'm jacked up. Listen, training camp world in August, it truly is all about, in my mind, a few things. One, who's currently holding out, who's holding in, who's going to wind up signing, who would dare to potentially miss a week one game because they are going to stand firm and so will management in a contractual standoff. Who's going to be that guy? Is there going to be that guy? Could it be a Dallas Cowboy? Who's that guy? Could it be a Cincinnati Bengal? Who's that guy? Could it be a 49er? Who is that guy? There's a lot of big names as we are sitting here on the first day of August that have yet to sign their contracts or will not play without a new one. How about that? So we're looking out there. There's also on the opposite end of that, who's going to be a 53rd man on a roster? That's sort of your Hard Knocks storylines, what we love so much about that inside look at training camps. Who's going to be that guy whose dream comes true and they make a team when you didn't expect them to make a team and they're
went through so many odds professionally and personally to make a team. And we'll see later on in August those videos hop up on your social media as teams, no doubt all 32, have a kind of a camera hidden and the coach brings in the player and they learn their dreams coming true. I love that sort of stuff. And then there's the rookie quarterback situations across the National Football League and how that's playing out. I'll tell you what, the three guys who are going to be starting week one out of the six that were drafted in the first dozen picks of the NFL draft, I'll tell you who those guys are going to be. Caleb Williams will be starting for the Bears against the Tennessee Titans in week one. Jaden Daniels, despite there being a so-called competition going on, will be the starting quarterback for the Washington Commanders against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week one. When the Denver Broncos start in week number one, I believe it'll be Bo Nix. I think Sean Payton even spoke, gave you a little update. He gave you a little bit. But because, listen, you know, Jared Stidham is a guy who he personally brought in, and and Derek Carr slash Keyshawn, Russell Wilson at the end of last year. And then, of course, they went and got Zach Wilson after the Jets finally gave him his freedom. But it's going to be Bo Nix. I think this was the update from Sean Payton on Wednesday about his quarterback scenario.
Look, I thought overall, I'm sure there's going to be some plays we look at that were, it was mostly third down. A lot of the work was third down, but yeah, I mean, we'll see the tape and evaluate it. But I thought overall pretty well. I mean, you know, there are clips, plays where you're going to look at and correct, and then there's others where you're going to say, hey, but I do have to watch the film because I'm looking at so much. And he ran with the ones and, I like his progress.
Bo Nix is going to start week one. By the way, tough assignment at Seattle. Speaking of which, once again, Jackson Smith and Jigba will be on this program in hour number two from Seattle Seahawks training camp. Then you've got J.J. McCarthy, who I believe will be sitting and watching Sam Darnold start week one in MetLife. Michael Penix Jr., clearly, unless there is some sort of catastrophic moment in training camp, will, for Kirk Cousins, he'll be sitting and watching Kirk Cousins take on the Pittsburgh Steelers in week number one. What a great game that's going to be. Jesse Bates, again, of the Falcons, hour three. Then lastly, there's the guy in New England in Drake May. Folks, in case you're not knowing this, in case you're somehow unaware of what's going on in Patriots camp involving Drake May. Started with Gerard Mayo, their new head coach, actually giving out information when asked direct questions about his quarterback flowchart when training camp opened. He's like, you know, obviously Brissett is the one, that's why we got him. Yeah. You know, he's a veteran. He's been here. He's played. He's the one. But hey, open competition. He even mentioned Joe Milton, who they drafted in the final day of the draft, and Bailey Zappe still there.
Zappe's still there, guys. Can't forget Bailey.
Shiny Zappe people.
As of this moment, it still could be a Zappe holiday.
Man.
Can't forget.
Don't forget Zappe. Bailey Zappe.
He's still there.
Last quarterback to win a game for Bill Belichick in his vaunted half century of coaching, potentially in counting.
What a sad.
Last winning quarterback of Bill Belichick's coaching career. If he doesn't coach again, his name is Bailey and Zappe.
Sad trivia answer.
Hey, you got a lot of Tom Brady on that list beforehand, so don't you worry about it.
Thank God.
So, open competition. Who knows? Maybe he can do it. But as of this day, in terms of Drake May's training camp experience from the observers in the New England media that are seeing what he looks like, the only way you can describe it, three words, hair on fire.
Ah.
Absolute hair on fire.
No hair.
when it comes to Drake May's first few days of training camp, hasn't looked good. You're seeing, what is he, 6 of 11 here, or his passes are being sailed there. Sure, he threw a touchdown pass also in training camp, you know. Not getting a lot of work with the ones. Your friend Michael Holly said it's Mac Jones 2.0. Now, listen.
Ghost of Mac Jones.
Ghost of Mac Jones. Pardon me. He's seeing ghosts.
Ghosts.
Of Mac Jones.
Tom Brady really spoiled all these New England people.
Well, you know who also spoiled him? Mac Jones' rookie season. He was terrific.
Mac Jones is awesome. Made the Pro Bowl. 85 on the top 100 list.
But Mac Jones, the ghost of Mac Jones. Let's talk about last year's Mac Jones or the regressed Mac Jones. Play the drop anytime you want, Mike. You can do that.
Seeing ghosts.
Thank you.
I'm seeing ghosts.
So, Jerod Mayo talking to the media today about the status of Drake May. Honestly, just a couple of padded practices of training camp in, and we're talking about... Jeez. Bust Drake May.
Oh, God.
Hit it.
People are going to have their opinions. I would say the opinions inside of the four walls matter most. And I would say the people inside the four walls know what they're talking about. And so you can take that for what it is. Look, we all support Drake. We all know what it's like to be a rookie in this league. Not you guys, obviously, but I do. Right? I know what it's like to be a rookie. And it's not all peaches and cream. You probably remember this. San Francisco, my rookie year, you know, I got benched on third down. I only played early downs because I just wasn't ready. And that was like week 10, right? It was like week 10, week 11. But it was a wake-up call for me to get benched. And, you know, from there on, I was rookie of the year. Still got benched. So whatever we want to talk about with Drake, there will be ups and downs. And hopefully it ends on up.
Final question, guys.
Did you ever consider giving Drake some reps with, like, the top offensive grouping that Jacoby's been with, just to see what he can do with those guys?
You know, like you guys said, it's the second week of training camp. We have a game here a week from now. He'll have an opportunity to go out there and participate with, if you want to call them the ones, but we mix and match.
All right.
I love this man.
Let me just say this to you. Two things. Every single time he speaks, it's just like, he's the head coach of the Patriots giving us information as a happy warrior.
I love that guy.
And because Belichick would have been like, we're just practicing. We're just,
Wednesday. What are we doing?
So eventually we're going to get past this, that this is happening, right? This sea change is occurring, and he's giving you an answer, and he's not shutting you down, and he's actually telling you a story about how he got benched. By the way, probably by Belichick when he was a rookie.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Right? So listen, I'm going to put my... I'm going to do this. To borrow a phrase from Dak, I'm going to say it. I'm going to address the New England media directly.
Be careful.
I know.
Be careful.
I know.
You're going to end up you're going to end up on the Drive Time EEI soundbites.
It's going to look like that car chase in Matt Damon's new movie, The Instigators, right? On Sterling Drive, where cars are all piled up.
Yeah. Be careful.
You drafted Drake May as a 2024 marinating project. Kid, based on every evaluator I spoke to, I worked with, I heard from, you heard from, was all, this kid is not ready to start 2024. Every single team who needed a quarterback that drafted after you tried to get him. Look at Hard Knocks. Everybody. And when Hard Knocks showed you how great Drake May was on the Giants grease board, everybody's like, that's why the Patriots have him. So now he looks terrible in his first few days of training camp, which is a laboratory that you're allowed to look at and be in. Now he's not going to be any good. This is what exactly supposed to happen. This is what we were expecting to happen. I know we're bored waiting for football to actually be played and draft our fantasy teams, but come on. Come on. This is why you got Jacoby Brissett. This is why you have Jerod Mayo there, and you're fully aware that you're starting from scratch, like absolute scratch. The reason the people calling in, there's already people on hold wanting to play the win-loss game on behalf of the teams that they love. Every single time the Patriots come up, it's win. We're going to beat you.
Win. Every time.
And so, honestly, and this is truly what it's all about. Truly what it's all about. And why, you know, there is, if you want to have a cause for concern, you got to ask yourself, is Jerod Mayo and the staff that he's put together, Alex Van Pelt and Ben McAdoo, are they the ones who can be the Sherpa for this kid? Because you know who wasn't the Sherpa for Mac Jones and his ghost? And that's part of the reason why, you know, bless him, Belichick's on the CW and the Manning cast.
And YouTube.
Right. That's why, you know, he's in the media right now. And why a bunch of teams didn't go and hire him is because of how it all went down in New England the last 2 years. Overlooking, by the way, his previous 48 is coaching, but that's another story for another day. So that's the question. Do you have the right guys to say tough training camp practices and then tough training camp season potentially if it goes that long, and then get him ready and coach him up if Brissett gets hurt? You know? And if May's got to get in there, will he be ready to do that? But guess what? It might look pretty ugly that way too. That's the way it goes. When you don't have Tom Brady and Bill and Vrabel and Brewski and Gronk and Edelman, you know, welcome to the rest of us. Am I going to be in trouble? Can I fly into Logan now?
You know what? Go run another 40 in your
That's
suit.
That's it. That'll be, you know, I think Zolak even knows, right? He understands.
He knows.
What are we doing?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Just everyone relax. It's the first week.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. I really stepped in it, didn't I?
Well, you're being logical and reasonable.
Right. Or
which are two words to can't describe Boston media as. So everyone just chill out.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. We've got Daniel Jeremiah coming up, and also Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jesse Bates. Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, training camp writ large with one of the best in the business, DJ from NFLN, and more next. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Fun training camp stuff. Eagles defensive meeting. Ooh. C.J. Gardner-Johnson talks a big game, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I saw this.
He does.
This is sick.
I guess there's a rim placed in the...
they got full-on hoop in there.
In the meeting room, and if he makes a shot, meeting canceled. Roll tape.
Kobe! That's all.
Did somebody yell, that's off?
Yeah, somebody yelled, that's off.
That's off.
I wonder if it was a coach.
All I heard was Kobe get yelled. Did you hear that?
No, is that what it is?
Yeah, somebody. You
know, when play we
let's,
yeah,
let's
play
let's,
again.
Can we rack that up Kobe one more time? All right, here we go.
Kobe, that's off.
Kobe, and then that's off.
I think one was Kobe, one was that's off.
That's great. Oh, that's awesome.
That's full the first on thing hoop. I heard was Kobe.
Love it.
All right. You know who put the hoop together? Big Dom.
Probably. That guy does everything.
Right? Big Dom put
Mike,
the hoop
you're
together.
You're our Big Dom.
Right. I mean, pretty much.
Big Dom.
Big when, Mike.
When
big
you're
Mike,
not here, things Mike. Are just off.
Big Mike. It's not as big. You're not as big as you used
no,
to be.
No, but
either.
I mean.
You're down.
Yeah, yeah. But we wouldn't lose games at the end of the season.
Oh, this right. guy. That's yeah, a Giant fan. Don't let the Giant fan loose over there, okay?
Yeah. You got this.
Yeah. Man. Trash him, Mike. Get off the Cowboys for once. Talk about somebody else.
That's true.
Yeah.
But don't worry. Just wait, TJ.
That's fun. Rich. This is great.
Fun. It's great.
Oh,
it's
my
great.
God. When is football, though?
It's great. Matthew Judon is back. Oh, I'm so happy.
Okay. Whew. Oh, man. I'm not going to be able to go to Boston, am I? Addressing the media directly. What a moron. What'd I do that for? Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. When I had the Rona, he got the call up to the Cowboys training camp as part of back together
weekend.
Right. Yeah. So I appreciate that, and I always appreciate when he joins this program, one of my favorites and the best in the business, man. Daniel Jeremiah back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, DJ?
What's going on, Rich? Great to be with you, man. We made it. We are two football season.
We are indeed here. I'm going to the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame game is this evening. And so what are you, where have you been already so far? In training camp,
it's been a light lift. You know, the nice thing is you guys know, like having these teams in Southern California makes it kind of easy with five teams out here. So
right.
So far, I've just been to Cowboys. I've just been to Chargers. So those are the first two stops. But man, you've got the Raiders here. You've got the Saints here. You've got the Rams here. So there's right. It's literally you could have a nice ITC inside training camp with a tank of gas this year.
Well, you know, listen, DJ, I don't want to push back. It's back together weekend still in my estimation.
Sorry.
I think we're forever in back together weekend. So.
Make sure you code that properly, or you will not be able to get your expenses done. As Denise has informed us, Denise is on top of it.
Let me write that down. Okay, so listen, let's give the Joneses what they're due here, because the number of times that Jerry and Steven were pushing back on this whole "what's your malfunction with your all-inness," talking about the number of Pro Bowlers and All Pros that they have on their roster. How good is the Cowboys roster going into this season?
I think they're in pretty good shape. I think the defense is going to be really good. You know, when you look at the pieces that they have in place, and with Micah Parsons kind of being that X factor as the true blue difference maker up front. And I'm curious to see, you know, everybody's positive. I always like to clarify that, you know, when you go on these training camp tours, I've yet to go to a place where the coaches you talk to are like, you know what, we're screwed. We stink. But there is optimism there with Mike Zimmer, and everybody seems to be bought in, and you know, they are very secretive. I tried to get Micah Parsons to give me some stuff off camera of how his role, how he would be used and what that would look like. And he was a little bit guarded. But there seems to be a strong relationship there. And I think they're going to be really good on that side of the ball. And then, You know, the fascinating thing for me is offensive line-wise, they have two really talented rookies that we talked about at the draft. Tyler Guyton, who I believe is going to be their long-term left tackle, and then Cooper Beebe, who I believe will be their long-term center. Now, I was there early in camp, and those guys were not running with the ones. They were running with the twos. Chuma Adoga, who you know from the Jets days, was out there running at left tackle. But I think it's, you know, it's interesting. Those are the things I keep an eye on, you know, when you're talking about training camp, is some of these position battles, and when do you put the rookies in there? In my opinion, I think it's time. Put those guys out there. They're your two most talented guys at those positions. Let them, you know, work through things. Let them go up against, you know, your first team defense on a daily basis and kind of get, you know, kind of scarred up a little bit before the season starts. So that to me, I'm keeping an eye on how long before they let those guys loose.
Well, in terms of, you know, you trying to dig for information with Micah Parsons and him essentially telling you to pound sand in terms of what the Cowboys defense will look like with Mike Zimmer now in the mix in Dallas, what can you tell us about the Chargers offensively? Yeah. I mean, I had Joe Hortiz here the other day, and you know, he's like, don't basically sleep on Herbert still being throwing for 4,000 yards, but this is obviously more of a run first unit with Jim coming in here now. So how will it look offensively with Keenan Allen gone, Mike Williams gone, and Harbaugh in?
Well, I think, you know, one of the additions that they made to their staff, which I don't think a lot of people have talked about, who I think is a great addition, is Mark Trestman. You know, and Mark Trestman's been around forever. Mark Trestman is very creative. Obviously spent a lot of time in Canada. But I saw some things, like just some stuff they were doing in the run game. You know, we think of creativity and with Greg Roman and Trestman, I think that creativity is not just in the passing game. It's not just, you know, formations and shifts and motions in the passing game. You can be very creative in the run game, as, you know, if you followed, you know, their time with the Ravens with Greg Roman, and you followed Harbaugh when he was with Kaepernick and the time he had in San Francisco. They're doing some creative things, and I do think there's going to be games where you see Justin Herbert, you know, have those 350-yard passing games. He'll cut him loose when he needs to. But I'm intrigued to see if there are some games where we see Justin Herbert carry the ball, you know, six times, Rich. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that is – it's there for him. They have it in their scheme, and, you know, he's a big dude. So if he's smart about it and protect himself a little bit, I think you might see Justin Herbert get involved in the run game a little bit, which might shock people considering what he's making and what he's already done as a passer in this league.
Sure. So just, I guess, to try and make it as relatable as possible for fans, are you saying more of a Josh Allen type game out of Herbert?
Yeah, I think that, you know, just being out there for one day and just watching it, I mean, they utilized him, and he was somebody that you had to account for in the run game. It's not going to be Lamar Jackson situation here. But I think they can be, you know, judicious with that, find their spots, pick their spots, and kind of unlock a little bit of that side of his game as well, just to sprinkle that in, give defenses something to think about. But the other thing, you know, having covered this team for the last 6 years, it looks different, Rich. You can tell just from a philosophy standpoint, when you go out to a backfield and Austin Ekeler, who's, you know, just racked up the Pro Bowls and touchdowns in big ways, and caught a ton of balls. But it's different when you see Austin Ekeler back there all those years, and now you see Gus Edwards back there. It looks like, you know, Derrick Henry's little brother in the backfield. Like, he is huge. Mm-hmm. And then sitting next to Joe Alt, I mean, you can find that picture. I think I posted that on Instagram. But, like, sitting next to Joe Alt, it looked like it was bring your kid to work day. I mean, he is just massive. So they are bigger, and they're going to be a more physical team.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero was here before. I believe he joined you across the way on NFL Network's coverage of the Chargers camp on Wednesday. He said that what he picked up from being in Chiefs camp is how much faster a team the Chiefs are on offense. Obviously, you and I sitting in the booth watching Xavier Worthy having a record-setting moment at the Combine 40-yard dash says it all there. But he just said overall, do you think the Chiefs offense can actually go back to the Tyreek Hill, take the top of the defense off years, and in a way that we saw them struggle last year, they won't this year? Do you think that's what we're seeing?
Well, I think that Andy, look, Andy Reid is obviously a Hall of Fame coach, and, you know, they've won consistently. He's racking up these Super Bowls. But I think if you gave him truth serum, I don't think he would admit it, Rich, but I think it wasn't quite as satisfactory the way they did it last year. I think he wants to go back to what he's been in the high-flying days with DeSean Jackson and the Eagles, to what they were with Tyreek Hill early on there with the Chiefs, and go back to trying to be a little bit more dynamic. And, you know, I think that's what they've done, the speed that they've acquired. And it's not just speed. Like, and you've read some of the reports that I've read, and it's not a shock to me, but Wordy's a route runner. Like, he can run every route. He's not somebody that you're just going to have to push vertically. He can get you explosives, you know, on a slant or a dig, and then take the ball and go with it. So it's not just, I think people think, okay, you got all these guys, you bring over Wordy, you bring over Hollywood Brown, they're just going to try and just chuck the ball 50, 60 yards down the field on top of coverage. To me, I think it's more about just, they want explosive plays, whether that comes with the ball traveling in the air or whether that comes with those guys tucking the ball under their right arm and running it after catching the ball, you know, 10, 15 yards down the field. But I do think Andy wants to be more explosive than they were last year.
So in terms of fixing problems from the previous year, although, you know, the Chiefs did very well overcoming the problems that their offense quite was well, potentially yeah. presenting them. Which team do you feel, now that we've hit August,
yeah.
from draft, free agency, and anything else, have plugged the hole or fixed the problem of 2023 the best entering 2024, DJ?
I'll give you two examples that come right off the top of my head.
Sure.
And they're both teams that had passing defense issues in the back end. The Detroit Lions with Terrion Arnold and Ennis Raikestraw, those are two really, really good players that they plug into their secondary. The Philadelphia Eagles with Quinyon Mitchell, who all reports early on have been awesome on him. And they got to get Cooper DeJean healthy and get him out there. But those teams that I thought looked at that area, also the Eagles moving Bradbury back to safety gives them, you know, some more depth there as well. But I thought those two teams, those were glaring issues for them. And to go chase a Super Bowl, you can't have that, you know, that weak spot. And I think both those teams were pretty thoughtful and pretty intent on getting that accomplished. And I thought they both did.
What about offensively? Any team leap out at you? I know we just mentioned the Chiefs and getting faster.
Yeah.
Any other on the other side of the ball? Any teams that you think really did the job, or at least on paper and yeah. best laid plans, et cetera, but what about on the offensive side of the ball?
I would say the Bears last year to this year is an Ozempic before and after picture when you look at their offense.
yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, just look at what they've done. When you bring Keenan Allen in there, and you got Swift back there, but obviously the headliner is Caleb Williams. I mean, they've transformed what that offense is going to look like. So they went from being an unwatchable product offensively.
Right.
To, man, I sure as heck, if nothing else, I'm very curious to see how this all comes together. But, man, they have some fun players to play with on that side of the ball.
Well, and obviously the optimism is sky high for Bears fans who are, like, looking around for the trap door to see where it's going to open.
Yeah.
And we had Jalen Johnson on the program right around Espy's time. And he counseled patience, though, to Bears fans. He says this is going to take a while. And obviously, I think he was meaning the offensive side of the ball, because we saw his side of the ball gel quite nicely from the middle of the season on. So how read that one out for me, DJ.
Well, I think, look, you don't want to put too much in terms of the expectations on Caleb. And I think their offensive line, you know, there's still some work to do there. We'll see what they look like up front, but – you know, Caleb Williams, as you see him smiling in that picture, might be because, you know, if you're worried about the offensive line, he didn't play behind the Hogs last year at USC. So he's got some experience of trying to navigate around some pressure. So that, to me, would be the one thing I would be, you know, patient on. Let's just see how this offensive line comes together. And there is just going to be a natural adjustment. It's as unbelievable as C.J. Stroud was last year, as good as we've ever seen a rookie quarterback. It was still a few weeks in, a month in, before he kind of found his sea legs, and then he obviously took off and put on a show, taking them to the postseason. But there's still, I mean, there's a learning curve. You got to be patient with that. I think that's probably what Jalen Johnson's talking about. The good news is, you know, with him and Montez Sweat, some of those other pieces on the defensive side of the ball, hopefully they can help keep them kind of keep them afloat while they're trying to kind of get their sea legs, so to speak, on offense.
A few minutes left with Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just mentioned how, you know, the question of the Bears offensive line needs to be answered by seeing it first before you can truly buy into the entire hype of the Bears offensive unit out there. I kind of have been looking at the Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, you know, having demonstrative conversations on the sideline of training camp with the idea that it's healthy to see that sort of stuff, and that, you know, they wouldn't have to try to get on the same page if Rodgers played more than five snaps last year, you know, and that is that that is part and parcel of Rodgers not having as much time last year as, or any time. Long-winded setup to this is, have they fixed the offensive line problems, do you think, for the Jets? Because none of it matters of Rodgers and Garrett Wilson getting on the same page if Rodgers is on his behind again. So what do you think of how the Jets have handled that?
I think the difference between this Jets team and the previous ones is that this Jets team can absorb an offensive line injury or two. Now, any team in the league, you get two, three, four guys get hurt up front, you're screwed. Like, that, they're no different from that standpoint. But I think in years past, it's been like, man, take Vera Tucker out of there, it was like the Jenga piece. And then the whole thing kind of fell apart. I think they've done a good job. You know, when you go out and get Olufoshana, when you go get the two tackles, you know, the veteran tackles that you plug in there with Moses and Tyron Smith, like, they can afford one of those guys, maybe even two of them, and survive with the depth that they have there now. But, you know, like any team, they need, you know, it preferred to keep those frontline guys healthy. But if they do stay healthy, Rich, I think they've got a chance to be a much improved offensive line. I'm excited to see the young guy in Joe Tippmann, who I really like coming to the draft last year. I thought he did some good things last year, to see how he continues to grow and develop. I'm excited about him and his mullet to see what that, nice. You know, what that looks like with the Jets.
Do you subscribe to the AFC conventional wisdom that this is the year to go get the Bills, that they can get got right now? What do you think?
I they had a lot of people leave. But I just feel like at the end of the day, when you look at the quarterback and the head coach, and you look at the culture, those three factors, they've won a bunch with this group. Josh, I still think, as crazy as it is, and he's, you know, one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL, I still think there's room for him to grow and continue to even get better. So I wouldn't be so quick to throw dirt on those guys. That's still a very formidable group. And, I'm excited to see how Keon Coleman, you know, fits in there. Some of the other, you know, different pieces they have offensively, how that all comes together. I would like to say, though, going back real quick to the Jets, Rich.
Yes, sir.
Does Garrett Wilson, for having an argument with like a Hall of Fame quarterback, does like the wide receiver union, does he get like a plaque for that? Does he get like, what do you get for that? It's like, it's your membership. You're like a full-fledged member now of the star wide receiver group when you've had some type of a battle there with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I think it's a certificate. I don't think it's as, okay. I don't think it's as, you know, highfalutin is a plaque, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a certificate. You get a few of those, and then maybe you get something a little bit more substantial, I would think. But in all seriousness, I mean, how many times do you see that sort of thing, right? I mean,
it happens all the time.
And this is the laboratory. This is the lab right now, man. Like, I didn't make anything of that.
This is the generational divide right here, okay? Because I you know, during this time of the year, you know, I'm going and going to camps when I can. I'm getting up to the NFL Network and doing stuff, duties there. And then I'm in the car a lot, Rich. So I'm calling friends. You know, you're calling friends around the league and finding out, hey, how's practice going? How are the rookies look? You know, what about this free agent addition? So I'm on the phone. That's where I'm getting my information. And then I get home, and I've got, you know, my son home from college. I've got my other son who's going into junior high school, and they're telling me everything, the Instagram updates of what's going on. So there's like these major Instagram stories, but I'm not getting that same feedback when I talk to people on the phone. So it literally is like a generational gap of how you gather information and what your perceptions might be.
I love that, man. So I'm going to throw this sports talk radio thing at you before I let you go, Daniel Jeremiah. The NFC playoff teams from last year, okay? So you take the Bucs, the Lions, the Eagles and Cowboys, and you take the Rams and the 49ers and the Packers. Take them all. Okay. Which team from last year's playoffs do you think is more likely to go further this year than they did last year? Daniel Jeremiah. Again, I'll just repeat it for you. Eagles, Cowboys, one and done, right?
Yep.
And so were the Rams. Mm-hmm. And then you had the Packers eliminated in the divisional round. Right. And
were they in the divisional round, correct. The
Packers were eliminated in the divisional round by the 49ers.
Niners, Lions.
And the Bucks got eliminated in the divisional round, and then the Lions got eliminated where they get eliminated, and so the Niners in front of the whole country when the Chiefs won it all. Which NFC playoff team do you think will last longer this year than they did last year? More likely to do that?
I don't think any of those teams win more than one game more than they did last year. So I have my pick of teams I think are going to advance around further.
Which ones are those in the AFC?
I'm going to say, look, this is way too early to be making a Super Bowl prediction, Rich. But going, this is getting clipped off.
Well, no, it's not. It is not. I'm not asking you to make a Super Bowl prediction.
No,
but I have to
because I'm telling you that the Lions are going to go further than they did last year.
Okay.
So that puts the Lions in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But I just looked at we did a roster exercise on the Move of Six podcast, which, by the way, still trying to figure out. I love your opinion on it. Can we still hold on to the name, even though the Sticks might not be there?
No, sir. You got, I'm sure, the email from the NFL media group and the NFL that they and Sony are making a deal to start using technology to spot the ball, even in this preseason. DJ, those Sticks are history at some point. Although they'll always be there as a backup. How does that sound? You know?
Okay.
So, but I didn't mean to interrupt. Right. Go ahead. Please.
No, I don't know. It's very troubling. You can listen to DJ and Bucky Brooks on the Sony podcast coming out Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays during the fall. But we did a roster exercise, and we just kind of looked at like these, you know, championship foundations for these teams. So we did a quarterback. We did three offensive playmakers, could be running backs, tight ends, receivers, whatever, the top three guys. And we did your top three two or three premier offensive linemen. Like, what do you have there? Then on the defensive side of the ball, two pass rushers, could be inside, outside, or a combination, and then three playmakers in the back end. And when we did this exercise, Rich, you had the interesting comparison was the Niners and the Lions. And we talked about it before that champ game last year, where you had the 49ers with all those guys in their prime, some of them getting towards the back of their prime. And then you had the Lions with all those guys just entering into their prime, 23-year-olds, you know, Penei Sewell and that whole group of guys that they have, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra, like all those guys are young ascending players. And I'm looking at that going, you know what? They might just kind of blow the doors off the NFC. If all those guys who are already really, really good players take the next step, I think that's a Super Bowl caliber roster and a Super Bowl caliber team.
All right. All right. Next time I have you on, I'll do that with the AFC for you. I'll give you more time on that.
Okay.
On that. Next time
you're on, if you want to carve out about, I don't know, 5 seconds, we can talk about the Dodgers offense too against my Padres.
Hey, listen, congrats. First series win against the Dodgers since 2010. How about that? I saw that.
Wife was not happy with me because we got home after the comeback game where they were down 5-0, and I took my boys, and I got home, and she's like, how was the game? And I'm like, the game was good. She's like, did you just throw your voice out? You have to do 4 hours of training camp coverage tomorrow. I'll be fine.
Listen, you only know one speed, Daniel. And that was evidenced on this very day, very special day, 30 days until Appalachian State football gets played. This got tweeted out in celebration of that milestone day, I guess 30 days until App State football. There you are in 1998 with what the walk-off plunge overtime win over Wake Forest, right?
Yeah. This was like, you know, the Drew Brees like jump over the pile.
Oh yeah.
Drew a little more graceful than me there, I'm not gonna lie. But that was a walk-off winner. And to this day, every time I wear something from App State, I get the question, as you would know and appreciate, were you on the team that beat Michigan? No, but we beat Wake Forest. Let me tell you about that story.
I loved your response to that tweet today. Hashtag ball security. And I threw it out there. I called it one point of pressure. You got one point of pressure there, DJ.
By the way, I golfed the other day, Rich, and my left thumb was killing me. And apparently now I've realized that I have a growth in my left thumb there. So that's why it hurts so bad when I play golf. I don't know.
Just you fought through it to spike it on Wake Forest. And we still relive that moment today. Daniel,
there you go.
Lasting memories. You're the best.
Fantastic. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for the time. We'll chat. Have a great rest of I'm not going to say great rest of August. You're going to be back on the show shortly. Thanks for the time, DJ.
Appreciate you, buddy.
At Move the Sticks, check him out. Daniel Jeremiah, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take a break. He mentioned baseball. Let's talk baseball.
Hey, we're talking.
Apparently, the Mets are getting closer to the Phillies.
Oh,
Well, the Phillies are getting close to the Mets.
Yeah, either way.
That's coming up, and you're welcome.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm. Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Everybody check out the Game Time app. Get it on your phone or mobile device, iPad, whatever you want to call it, near you, and start buying tickets to anything in your area. Baseball tickets, if you're looking at all of these awesome games that are going on right now, saying, you know, I want to take my kids, my family, or just go to the ballpark with friends. Perfect way to do it. You get to see a view from your seat before you buy your seat. You get to see everything all in what it costs. So there's absolutely no surprises. Actually, the guesswork is totally removed out of buying baseball tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Things can change in a New York minute in Major League Baseball. Perfect example. Right in the middle of a Yankee-Red Sox game. The Yankees lost the night before, Friday night, Saturday night. Doesn't look great. Bill Simmons says they stink. Boom, five games in a row they win.
I'm taking the credit, Rich.
They take the final two games against the Red Sox.
Yeah, fixing the game.
You know, in case you're wondering, the Yankees outscored the Red Sox 14-4 in the final innings of those that series after Bill Simmons tweeted about how he was gleeful, how bad they looked. And then the Yankees sweep the Phillies.
Oof.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. Things can change in a Philadelphia minute, too. They're losing in various different ways. The starting pitching one night, relievers the next. You know, Bryce Harper was at a double play, game-ending double play yesterday.
Yep.
As we were about to go off the air, or we were done, or
we had just finished.
Just finished. And the Yankees, again, DJ LeMahieu. I'm sorry, DJ. I think I may have said on this show, when the Yankees lost to the Mets, that he should take a page from Joe Biden.
You were really mean.
Step down.
To DJ,
yeah. You know?
May have
said that.
Batting champ.
Hey, listen, you know, again, just as I was walking around the house yesterday, last night, I'm like, when are the Yankees on? I'm like, oh, that's right. They already won today. Five in a row. And I just was so happy. And I thought to myself, this is not a healthy way to live life, where your emotions go up and down with your sports team like that.
What do you mean? We've been doing this since we were kids.
I understand.
What do you change now?
I know, and that's what puts a roof literally over the head of this program.
We can change.
Is that now? Everyone feels that way about their teams, right?
Imagine how I feel.
Now the Philadelphia Phillies, on the other hand, are wondering what now? I mean, they have everything there. They got the hitting, they got the pitching, they got the relievers now, they got everything. It's just not working right now. So what needs to happen, Bryce Harper?
Obviously, like I said, you don't want to play the game this way. You don't want to play from behind or not win series because, you know, baseball is all about winning series and being right or being hot at the right time and doing things the right way. And I could say that we haven't really been playing good baseball on both sides of the ball. Guys on base, things like that. Pretty sloppy as well. So, I mean, I think we all know that as a team. Like I said, got to turn the page and turn it into August. And we got three really good teams we're about to play again. So, you know, we just got to cowboy up and play the right way.
Cowboy up.
Is that a...
That's 0-4.
Is that Red, that's Red Sox?
Millar.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Cowboy up.
Cowboy up.
Or, I mean, because he can't mean the other thing, because that would be what? Don't finish in your league's Final Four for 26 straight years.
Ouch. Sorry, taking strays.
The Jets have won Super Bowl before anyone in this room was born. Let's remember.
I don't even remember that.
Hold on.
I don't even remember.
Yeah. Hold on.
Mike, you were born.
I was born.
Okay.
Cowboy up.
Let's not forget that, folks. At home.
I'm sorry. I'm just feeling it right now. I'm feeling it.
I have to grab my bag of those rings again.
they're old. They're clanking around.
Still, though.
I don't know. Got to go deep in the ocean to find those.
I'm just saying, bro, you weren't even alive when your team won a Super Bowl. How can you? Like, seriously, you have no
standing
leg to stand on.
I don't know. I've seen
settle down just a little bit.
I've seen the Jets in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, well, yeah, that brought you much joy, too.
Three times, as a matter of fact, since the Cowboys. Three.
Wow.
Whoa. Once with Parcells.
What kind of party was that?
Once with Parcells and twice with Rex.
Let me tell you what, nobody remembers any of those Jets.
Did they raise a banner? The Colts would have raised a banner.
Oh, this guy.
You know what I mean?
You know. At any rate, Yankees have won five in a row is the general point of it.
Stay on target.
Stay on target, to use a Star Wars phrase. I keep quoting Star Wars lately. What's happening to me? So Jesse Bates is going to join us next hour, and Jackson Smith and Jigba hour three. We're just kind of juggling here. When we come back, your phone calls and my top 10 players in the NFL list. Still here on the Roku channel.
Yeah, only a half game back of the A's.
Yeah, the Orioles are catching fire as well. You know, catching fire.
Yeah, they are.
Who are the teams the Phillies are playing? He said they're playing three tough teams. I don't have that information.
Oh.
Let me look here. I will see here the next game.
Coming up, they got the Mariners, the Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks.
Oh, speaking of the Dodgers.
Those are three tough teams.
Rich Eisen show.
That's right.
Southern California sports honk Sean Mitchell did not like hearing Daniel Jeremiah talking about the Padres' series win over the Dodgers. Let me quote Smitch here. He texted me. I love that. Ask DJ, when is the Padres' parade?
Nice.
Okay. I'll ask him, Smitch. I will ask him, when is the Padres' parade?
Wild card races are...
Hey, man, when is Mookie Betts getting back? When are we getting him back? Anytime soon? Mid-August, I'm hearing?
No idea. It's been out for a while.
I don't think you're going to see Yamamoto the rest of this one. What do you think of that? But Kershaw has returned, right?
He's in playoff form.
Oh, don't do that. Smitch is going to ask you when your parade is.
Here he goes.
We've had a parade more recently
than
his team.
We went
real World Series, not
60
games.
Now he's going COVID asterisk. Now he's doing that. Roll your break.
Got a point.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have, I've gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.